This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth about Benghazi?
Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else?
Democrats are all talk and no action.
Fighting for Idaho.
How about the A-10 platform? There's never been a question in my mind that it's going to go away. The question is when.
We're always going to be ready when the governor calls us up and when the president calls on us to go overseas and take care of our nation's wars. We're going to do that too.
Fighting for you.
There's people have an attitude about attorneys already. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys, so my, you know, apologies ahead of time here to my friends who are attorneys out there listening.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
Woo!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Win cash right now. Call 877-854-WINS. That's 877-854-9467. The 25th nationwide caller wins $1,000 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Big issue coming up in CUNA on Tuesday, of course, the levy issue. We have the folks here to talk a little bit about that, the friends of the CUNA School District. Hopefully I got your name right. It's always good to be accurate here in the fair and balanced reporting. We have a roundtable of folks here that are here to, well, to answer your questions and to talk about this. Last week we had some folks on that were against it. This week we've got the folks on that are for it. So why don't we go from right to left, I believe, and introduce yourselves here at the 580 KIDO roundtable.
Amy Harder, a parent from CUNA School District.
I'm Shelby Harris. I'm one of the teachers out there.
My name is Amber Abercrombie, and I have two children in the district.
And I'm Brian Fletcher. I'm the business manager, and I should say I'm just here representing myself, not the district or the Board of Trustees.
All right. Well, let's start with the big issue here. What's at stake? Last week we talked to some folks that were, you know, want some better accounting. They want the levy to go down. What's at stake here?
At stake here would be that our children could possibly have larger class sizes and less choices. So to me, that's a no-brainer.
No-brainer indeed, but you go back to the, you know, playing devil's advocate. People did vote and they voted it down. Why come back again?
A lot of that information possibly could have been misconstrued and by a very small margin.
I feel like if you want to press that argument, I mean, I wouldn't even be able to vote as a woman if you go back in history and just take a vote the first time. Sometimes.
Now, come on. Isn't that a stretch?
It's a little stretch, but, I mean, sometimes things are important enough that you don't just throw your hands up. And this is important enough to us that we needed to go back and make things right. So that's what we're doing this time.
All right, indeed. Shelby, your perspective?
I think it's really important that parents are aware of the realities that we're facing if this does not pass. And not just parents, but the community at large. These are kids that are growing up in our community, and they're going to be the leaders in our community in a few years. And we owe it to them to give them the best possible shot at a quality education. And the more funding we take away from our district, the more challenging that becomes.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. You know, the supplemental levy for the CUNA School District is about 11% of the general fund funding. That's a pretty significant piece, and losing that will have a material impact on the quality of education that we're able to provide.
A lot of people, though, would argue that that's the state's job. The state should continue to restore funding. Why go to the local level?
Well, the state has, you know, the recession in 2008 had a pretty big impact on the state's ability to fund schools, not just CUNA, but all districts across the state, and I'm sure this was a nationwide effect, not just here in Idaho, but what, you know, really took place is that the funding level on a per-student basis dropped dramatically. For CUNA, the low point was 2011 and 12, and the state has done a nice job of providing some additional funding, but it's really the supplemental levy that's helped filling that gap to get us back up to an increased funding on a per-student basis. And even with the supplemental levy, last year being our last full year, we still did not have the same amount of per-student funding for the general fund that we did in 2008 and 9 when we did not have a supplemental levy.
And if we reflect back on 2011 and 2012 when our funding was cut so dramatically, I was teaching a math class of 40 sixth grade students. That's unacceptable. it's not okay. You can't build the same relationships that you can when you have smaller class sizes, and it does impact their learning.
580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. This is not just a CUNA issue, but an issue throughout the Treasure Valley that we've been covering for quite some time. Again, playing the devil's advocate here until some people will call in or not. If not, we'll just hear from your side. The issue involving every thumbs up there. I saw that, Amy. but we take a look at this, and people are going to say, hey, every time a levy doesn't pass, we always hear the same doom and gloom. We've got to cut staff. We've got to cut teachers. We've got to cut. Why not be more effective with the money that you have? Anybody from the panel here can jump in, since we have a room full of guests.
Sure. Yeah, let me run with that. You know, in our general fund, 88% of the expenses that are paid are staff. So anytime that you have such a disproportionate amount of the funding that you receive in that capacity being cut, 88% of it theoretically will come from people. And so when you start looking at people, whether it's teachers or support staff or administration, the fact of the matter is that you really only have four primary places to cut, and that's either the number of staff, the number of days they work, the amount that you pay them, or the benefits that you provide to those folks. You know, of that other remaining 12%, the you know, that's supplies for the classroom, that's utilities to run the schools. So it gets pretty narrow in where the other opportunities to make dramatic cuts offer themselves. So it really does boil down to the number of people. Though that's not where we'd prefer to go. That's not our first choice. But you know, that's the biggest piece of the pie.
Well, a lot of people would say, why can't you run education like a business?
Because it's not a business. These are kids. It's people. It doesn't function that way. Anybody who comes into a classroom and sees the human characteristic of what we do day in and day out could quickly understand that it's not a business. I encourage people, go into a classroom and see what it's about. It's not a business. It's
but
kids.
Then you also have the aspect where it's not a business in that if I was a business owner and I knew that there was going to be, you know, my budget was going to be tightened, I would figure out ways to bring in additional income. You know, maybe I'd work more, that sort of thing, or I would stop providing certain services. We can't do that as a district. Your hands are tied. You can't just look at a classroom and be like, I'm going to teach 15 of you because that's the only money I have. You have to teach all 30 students. And then the only way that you can actually reduce your budget is to make cuts. You can't bring in additional money. I guess the flip side to that would be to get grants, which our district is excellent at doing. They're very fiscally responsible, and that is one of the things that when we're awarded grants, we're told time and time again that the CUNA School District is a fiscally responsible district, and that's why we continue to get grants. But when you get grants, yes, you're bringing in income, but that money is earmarked for certain things, and so your hands are tied. So as a business, you know, typically you're bringing in income. We are not bringing in income.
Kevin, keep in mind as well that the CUNA School District has an influx of families moving in tremendously quickly. And since 2011 and 12, I believe, that it has grown. And we're not allowed to turn those schools away, children away. We have to accept every child that moves into the district regardless of anything about them.
Yeah, that's true. The district has been growing since I've been there in 2008-09. It was growing before that. It's one of the fastest growing districts before that. Each year, the district has grown with the exception of the 2011 and 12 year. We actually contracted by about 50 students that year. But just to add, touch on the running it like a business, one way that the district is very much like a business is that we have to compete for labor, for talent out there. And in the last election vote, which was in March, CUNA was the only district in the Treasure Valley that did not have a supplemental levy pass. That means we're competing to retain the quality staff that we've invested in, and those folks have an opportunity now to not just leave CUNA to go to other districts in other states, but they actually have the opportunity now to leave the district and potentially go to other districts in the Treasure Valley and earn a better or higher income.
We go to the phones. We go to Ron Paul Jim at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning. You said, what was it, 88% of the budget is to the staff?
Yeah, 88% of the general fund budget. And the general fund budget is defined as the money that primarily comes from the state of Idaho and then comes from local sources like the supplemental levy.
Okay, so that's every combined resource you have?
No, there's federal funding. Then there are other funds such as food service programs.
Okay.
Capital education. Capital construction projects. But the general fund is really where, by and large, we run the operations of the district. So that's why the conversation is really focused on that.
Okay. I'm just wondering, of that percentage of staff, how much of it is teachers, and can you cut staff that is non-essential, that are not teachers?
That's a good point. Hold on. Ron Paul, Jim, let me jump in and piggyback on your point. We saw what happened to NAMPA, and for me, it was I didn't approve of this, where you have the privatization of the custodians. People say, well, let's just have the private people do it. Let's just bid it out to everybody else, and the lowest bidder gets it, no matter who or what are in the school districts. We've heard that many times from a lot of people, A, that listen to the station, or B, that may be for or against the levy, saying, we don't need to have custodians there. We can hire Timmy's Custodial Service out of Columbus, Ohio. Chirp, chirp. Anybody going to answer that?
Come on, guys.
This is dead air here. I got it. Come on. Let's roll.
So if you outsource everything from your own state, where's your income coming from? Then you have a lack of people working in your state and providing for and taxes.
Right. But on the other hand, if you're paying someone, let's say, $15-$20 an hour, and you can pay someone $8 an hour, why not do that?
I think our custodians wish they were paid $20 an hour.
Right. I'm just saying that example has...
I get what you're saying.
Well, I wish somebody would. Go ahead.
I'd like to say that, to piggyback on that point, is I heard someone say that this was good for the for business. Well, let the private sector have the business and cut non-essential staff members to balance the budget. You don't have to cut teachers.
But usually the concept of non-essential staff is not teachers, but it's relegated to what we call support staff or classified staff. I can tell you, down in CUNA, about 70% of the classified staff live in the city of CUNA. So when we start cutting what's considered or often defined as non-essential, we're really impacting the direct economy of the local CUNA folks. And I think that a couple weeks ago when the mayor was on Mayor of CUNA, that was one of his primary points, is that when you start making cuts, you actually start hurting CUNA more directly than you do other areas in the Treasure Valley.
All right, Ron, Paul, Jim, thank you for the call. Doug in CUNA at 580KIDO. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Hey, this is a comment. You know, I called in last week when you had the guys on there that were against the levy, and I'm totally against the levy. Every time something like this happens, where schools start crying that they're underfunded and that they want to use the doom and gloom tactics of, well, you know, we're going to have to start laying off teachers because we can't pay them, and it's going to really hurt the kids. Well, the problem is they get all these administrators in there, and you never, ever, ever hear, oh, we're going to have to cut maybe an administrator. It's always the low people on the totem pole, the teachers and the janitors and such, that get laid off or that are threatened to get laid off. It's never the administrators. They need to start cutting some of the chiefs and get a few more Indians in there, because they pay the administrative staff a big chunk of change when the teachers don't get hardly anything.
So, Doug, as a teacher, I cannot function without an administrator. Our administrators work tirelessly. They work harder than you could possibly imagine to keep our schools functioning. Working without administration is not an option.
Yeah, and I can tell you, the last time that we had to make cuts as a result of the loss of the supplemental levy, we did cut administration. There were administrators from the school and administration from the district office that was reduced. So that has taken place, and if we do not get a supplemental levy this time, I can't say that administration is off the table. I think all things need to be considered.
Doug.
I don't want to discount what the teachers are doing and what the some of the administrators are doing. I was personally involved in the charter school out there in CUNA, and they do a lot more with less than the general public schools. And, you know, they have one administrator, and that's it.
So I'm interested, do you know the population that that one administrator is overseeing?
I don't know now what it is, large, but...
Right, so there's a ratio there that's important, I think, to recognize.
That's true, but...
And you're also comparing apples to oranges when you're talking about, you know, our public school system as opposed to charter schools. From a charter school perspective, there is so much more flexibility. Their hands aren't tied. They don't have to serve... every child. So you really can't even bring the charter school argument into the mix. You're not comparing apples to apples there.
There's a cap on charter schools.
Yeah, Doug, and if I could take you back to the administrative conversation, if we let go all administrators in the school district, it still doesn't cover, in fact, it doesn't even hardly cover a third of the cost of the supplemental levy. So that is not a big enough target for us to actually address to relieve the financial stress that the district would receive. We'd actually have to look at other locations, such as teachers, such as support staff.
All right, quickly, Doug, you get the last word, then we're going to keep on going here at 580-5436. Doug?
I just feel we need to be more fiscally responsible for every dollar that is given or paid to the schools. I know that the teachers generally are underpaid, and they do a lot of work for the kids, and they, you know, end up digging into their own pockets. But I get so sick and tired of hearing, you know, the doom and gloom. We're going to have to lay off teachers, and we're going to cut the low people.
And all right, Doug, great point. Got to run. Thank you. Much more coming up. We're talking about the CUNA levy, but we're also talking about funding of education here in Idaho and the Treasure Valley. Your thoughts, always welcome. We want to thank our panel. They'll be here for quite some time. We'll keep them as long as they're here, and we'll talk about this just based on the basis of how important education is. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, quickly to traffic.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, as we continue on with friends of the CUNA School District, Kevin Miller in the morning. Before we get back to the phones, any of you would like to say anything?
Well, I just want to talk really quickly on...
You're the one that compared this to the women's suffrage issue, right?
That's who I am.
All right.
I'm just here for your entertainment. No, I want to talk a little bit about scare tactics because we've heard that over and over and over again. And I think there's a difference between scare tactics and the truth.
Quite frankly, I'm scared of all of you in the studio.
You should be a little bit. It's way too early in the morning for me,
sure.
So let the coffee sink in. No, I think that the reality of the situation is that if the levy fails, I mean, it's a scary situation. And so when we're talking, you know, about larger class sizes and having to cut staff, we're not saying it to terrify people or to terrify teachers. We're saying it because it's a reality. That's what it looks like if this levy does not pass. And so there's a difference between trying to instill fear in everybody and stating the facts. Like, this is a consequence. These will be the consequences if this levy does not pass. It's pretty black and white. So I don't think that that is a scare tactic.
Sure. Let's quickly go to the phones. John in Meridian at 580 KIDO. Good morning, John.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Living the dream.
Good. I just wanted to ask the lady you're speaking with, I believe, who mentioned that she could not function as a teacher without an administrator. Can I ask your first name?
Shelby.
Didn't catch it. Pardon?
Shelby.
Shelby. Okay. What does an administrator do all day long exactly to justify their their salary, which is so much higher than the teachers?
Well, it depends on which administrator you're speaking of. In my building, I have two administrators that do different things for me, very different things. My principal is the woman who runs the show. Her focus is education and classrooms and all things that keep our building up and running all day, every day. And I have our other administrator who is in charge of students and keeping them safe.
Okay, sure. Okay, so can you break that down to specific tasks that they do, you know, every day and that are what you would say is absolutely essential for you to continue teaching? And how, and explain to me, you know, the market value of whatever it is that they do that makes them worth a six-figure salary versus a teacher that doesn't get a six-figure salary.
Oh, I'm sure our superintendent would love to get a six-figure salary.
I'm unaware of any administrators making a six-figure salary. However,
Maybe I'm a little high on that. I mean, I've heard, but there are administrators, you know, educational administrators that do make six-figure salaries. Maybe not
in Idaho.
In Treasure Valley, maybe not in Idaho. I don't know, but there are, you know.
So our focus today is on CUNA and on what we need to do for our district to succeed. I'm not really interested in what's going on in other states. I'm really focused on my district and my school specifically.
Okay, so tell me what's the difference in income then between an administrator, say, in CUNA?
Honestly, I don't know because I'm not in the business of comparing salaries with my colleagues. I'm in the business of helping kids.
John, great point. We appreciate that. I think the question you wanted is, can you give us what administrators do specifically to justify their salary? I believe that was his question, and we kind of got diverted from that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure this is about salary justification. My administrators keep the building functional. If I have a student who is disrupting my classroom in such a way that it's no longer safe and functioning, I need an administrator to be able to come and manage that student for me so I can continue teaching the other 31 kids and have that student handled and helped, really, because that's what it's about, right, when their behavior is off the charts. So they are there to support those kids who need it the very most and to allow us an environment in which we can still teach the rest of the kids.
More coming up next, 580KIDO.
Good schools, but we need great schools, and the transition is going to cause most all of us to do things differently. And anytime we talk about change, whether you're on the right or the left, we resist change.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school,
giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, the friends of the CUNA School District with us. We go to Jennifer. Jennifer, good morning. You're on 580KIDO. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm calling from CUNA, and I have three kids in the CUNA School District. And in actuality, I had two twins that had Shelby Harris in their classroom.
Uh-oh.
That year, awesome. When the levy was not in place, and I can tell you that year was not a good year for the kids. Not that Shelby Harris was excellent. She kept in great contact with me, but there was just too many kids for her to be able to reach in that classroom. 40 kids is just, it's to the kids. But I also have another point to make.
Oh, please do.
I do. people that are, you know, against the levy but are, you know, for the teachers and everything, I don't know if people realize and understand where those cuts might come from. Because when we start talking about loss of contact days, loss of days where kids are learning, we are also talking about furlough days that you saw huge cuts in NAMPA. But that also is a loss in teachers' pay and pay cuts, which these teachers in this district have not had a pay raise in probably, I think I heard maybe 7 years, and then we're talking about pay cuts here. And so I think that's really important that people need to understand if they're really for teachers and really for the schools and really for the students, that that's another piece that is really important.
Great point, Jennifer. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Jen.
We go to Steve Ackerman, Idaho Steve at 580KIDO. We miss you, sir.
How you doing?
Got a lot of fans here in this room.
That's right. Well, it's been a good discussion. My concern has been that there's kind of an all or nothing. You've either got to go with this levy as is or nothing. And I've been arguing for prioritizing for teachers and kids. And so here's a simple question. We're going to get $600,000 in additional money from the state. That money is not going to the classroom. It's not going for teachers. It's going for plant and equipment. And so if we really want to prioritize, why aren't we taking the $600,000 and buying more textbooks or cutting back the class size or, frankly, giving teachers a raise?
Yeah, Steve, this is Brian. The $600,000,
hey,
I do good. Good to hear from you. The $600,000 that'll come to us is just an estimate of what will come through the line item is called the discretionary line item, which is a funding source that'll come into the general fund. And those dollars will come in, and we will use those for staffing needs and for supply needs. I think your broader point, though, is that those funds won't, at this particular point in time, there isn't a plan to use those dollars for textbooks. And I know you have some concerns about that, and I think those are valid concerns. I think we share those concerns that, you know, with the right funding amount that we would love to have more textbooks, additional textbooks, newer textbooks. But the focus on the dollars that will be coming in is really trying to keep the class sizes smaller, trying to retain staff, and, you know, the focus, just as folks say that our focus is on the teachers on the downside, really the focus is on the teachers on the upside. That we do.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we earmark some designated levies that go directly to the classroom? Why don't we say, let's take $1 million that will be designated, earmarked for the classroom, or earmarked for teacher pay, teacher raises. This is part of the argument I'm making is, you know, we're putting in one big number, and we are dividing it up better. And Brian has been wonderful at cutting up that pie better. And actually, there's a levy plans tab, which is on the CUNA school on the district website to help. But my worry is that we're buying off a huge amount of money. And then it's going to be divided. I'd rather earmark the money directly to the teachers, directly to learning materials. And I don't have a problem spending more money, but I want to know exactly where it's going to go, and I want it promised, as in a contract.
All right, let's go to Amy.
Steve, you know, you've harped on this $600,000 quite a bit since I've been hearing you talk. Could you just let it go and let the thing go through, and we'll work on the earmarking? Why should it be earmarked now? We're in such a fluxation right now. There's no time for that. Could you just let it go at this point?
And as a teacher...
Well, to be honest with you, you know, CUNA, 80%, more than 80% of CUNA's levy has come from homeowners, and this has been going on since community review in 2005. So this isn't a new problem. And, you know, part of this is not the school board's fault or not the district's fault, because CUNA's not brought in businesses to help the... You know, to help diversify that fund, and Amy, I appreciate it. You know, again, if we're going to get additional money,
Amy just said for you to let it go. Do you want to let it go?
No. If I'm going to get 600, look, when I see my niece going into CUNA who doesn't have enough science, they don't have enough science books, five science books for 25 kids. That's shameful.
Well, I think that depends on how it's being used in the classroom, too. A lot of teachers can work very well with five textbooks for 25 students. The thing I think we need to consider here, Steve, is as teachers, we need to be in on the conversation, and we need to make the best decisions for how to spend the funding to best help kids. And that answer is not always that we need more textbooks. Sometimes it's that we need support staff or other materials, perhaps. But textbooks isn't always the first solution to helping kids.
Well, I would much rather have Shelby Harris.
I don't limit myself to textbooks. The problem is when you talk in education, people try to categorize. I actually use the term learning materials. I use textbooks right here to be... You know, to be courteous, to follow your conversation, my argument is learning materials and classroom supplies. And so what I want to see is a robust class, a class where the teacher not only has a smaller class size, but, you know, even that's not clear because we have 270 instructor positions for 5,100 kids. Now, that the math comes out to 18.9 kids per class. And yet we know that we have some classes, as Shelby mentioned, that are much larger.
Because right, what great. You're not considering is different ratios for different student populations.
All right, great points. We continue on here at 580KIDO.
You know, Steve raises a good point. One of the challenges that CUNA faces is that anytime you have a levy, it falls disproportionately on the residential sector and then the folks who are trying to make a living farming and running dairies, because we just don't have an industrial or commercial base out in CUNA. Hopefully that'll change at some point in the future. But, you know, that's one of the challenges that some of our neighboring districts don't face. And, you know, at this particular point in time, it's unfair. Something we'd like to see to change. But, you know, he raises a good point and one of the biggest issues, I think, that CUNA voters face.
We go to Carrie in CUNA at 580KIDO. Hello, Carrie.
Hi. I think there was a lot of – I've got kids in the CUNA school district as well, and I'm also an educator in a different school district. But
uh-oh.
I think there was a lot of misleading information that was put out there before the last levy election, and about misappropriation of funds and not using, you know, the money that they have, but and also saying that we get a lot more levy money than other school districts. But I think what they're not taking into account is that this is a rural district, so we are not getting all of those commercial funds that the Meridian School District is getting where I work, or the Boise School District gets a lot of commercial tax revenue that we're not getting in CUNA. And I think a lot of the problem is that they're not allowing, they want this small town feel in CUNA, but they're not, so they're not like Walmart wanted to build here, which would have given us a lot of commercial revenue, tax revenue. But they weren't allowed to build here. So if we either have to have that small town feel and
in other words, you're right, Carrie. Thank you for the call. Hold your guns or sell out. We'll talk about it next, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And don't forget, we'll be at Greenleaf Academy coming up on Thursday, thanks to our friends at CapEd, promoting our school, securing our future. Then we'll be at CUNA Middle School the Thursday after. Looking forward to being in CUNA. We're talking about the CUNA levy. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. I have to ask you, though, our teacher in the room here quickly, you know, we've sung your praises many times for the Khan Academy stuff, the outstanding CBS special. But now that all that is gone, how's it going in the classroom and how are the kids?
It's awesome. The classes are going really well. It's interesting that we're talking about increased class sizes and whatnot as we approach this levy vote, because I've been looking at my end of the year data as we're starting to wrap things up this year. And there's a marked number difference from my first class to my second class during the day as far as how many kids I have in class. And it's interesting for me to look at their growth on their test scores and see that my class that is smaller did do better as a group than my class that is larger. And it just validates for me that this isn't just something that we say when we're talking about class sizes. This is real and it does impact kids' learning. But outside of that, things are going great.
That's good, and hopefully we'll have you on, and we'll talk a little bit more when we're at your school. What a huge honor for you, your school, and for the state.
Thanks. It was fun. And more importantly, it was an amazing opportunity to get involved with this Khan Academy project and
right.
to see the powerful impact that it's had in my students.
Right. Yeah. What a blessing.
It has been. Thank you.
All right. Quickly, the panel.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. One thing I'd like to add, maybe two things if I have the time. We've been criticized of having a larger carryover for our district, and really that was a planned effort. And the reason why we did that was threefold. One, we wanted to eliminate what we called peaks and valley funding and expenditures, where you have more money one year, so then you spend a lot, and then the next year you lose funding, and then you drop. So we use these dollars to even things out. In addition, we just need cash flow. But really the biggest thing, and probably what hasn't been very, very well publicized, is the credit rating that the district received. And we just had this reviewed by Moody's. So, A, we had our credit rating reviewed, but also to those concerns about budget responsibility and fiscal management. Moody's, being a credit agency, came in and reviewed the district's financials. And the reason why they did that is we went out and refunded, it's a lot like refinancing your mortgage, but we refunded some bonds. We did that in 2012, and we did that here about a month ago. And the net effect of that was actually saving the taxpayers of the CUNA School District, not this year, but over the next 10 years, $1.3 million on the structure interest payments on those bonds. So we were able to go back out in the market and find preferable or better rates. And so we were able to save taxpayers money in that regard. But that review came back and it substantiated or kept consistent our current credit rating. And two factors that really drove that was, one, the financial management and maintaining that carryover, and the second thing, which is out of our control, which is the market values. So, you know, where maybe some of our neighboring districts haven't had the same level of success in that capacity, CUNA has done well in that area.
All right, 10 seconds for each of you. Go.
Oh, me? I'm totally ready.
All right.
I just basically wanted to say that for us, we understand both sides of the issue, completely believe that the children of our school district are important. We're not accusing the other side of not valuing our children's education. But the way to show it is to vote for this levy, because if you don't, it will have a negative impact on those children and on those teachers.
That was 30 seconds. Quickly, 10 seconds.
And Amber's completely right. We've got to step up and show support for these kids. And these are not scare tactics. The fact that things are scary is just a reality. That does not make them scare tactics. And we need to have just trust the district. Our district has done amazing things with what little we have, and please just trust them to do the right thing with this vote.
All right, hold on. Traffic at 580 KI.
Remember that they are the future of our city, and that if you keep in mind that we are responsible, we are doing what's best.
Judy Emmett.